Natural disasters and national emergencies can strike anywhere and anytime, with little or no warning, leaving chaos and destruction in their wake. But amidst the devastation is a beacon of hope and a symbol of unwavering support, the Red Castle of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
We always live kind of in disbelief that it's not going to happen to us.
We're protecting American citizens. We're giving them the tools to help them protect themselves.
When you are affected by a disaster, it can be very traumatizing.
Our sole intent is to get folks back to their pre-disaster way of life.
Welcome to Corps Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland, where we bring you the history of the Kansas City District, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This month, we'll learn about the vital role our district plays in disaster readiness, response, and recovery. Join us as we explore the incredible stories of the unsung heroes who stand ready to step in and help, no matter where or when disaster strikes.
I'm Jed Knieven. I'm the Chief of Readiness and Contingency Operations here for the Kansas City District.
My name is Rick Wechselbaum. I'm an Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers, and I'm responsible for the National Emergency Preparedness Program.
Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers. I'm the Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager.
Diana McCoy, I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the Kansas City District. Prior to coming into this role, I was an emergency management specialist in our Readiness and Contingency Operations Office.
My name is Vira Dobbins. My position was emergency management specialist.
My name is Marjorie DeBrott, and when I started in emergency management, I was the natural disaster program manager. And at a later time, I became the chief of emergency management in Kansas City District.
There are two types of natural disasters that are almost guaranteed to occur every year in the United States: flooding and hurricanes. Thankfully, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is prepared and able to respond quickly to these events. During response and recovery efforts, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers works under two primary authorities to provide assistance: Public Law 8499 and Emergency Support Function No. 3 under the National Response Framework. Public Law 8499, also referred to as PL 8499, gives districts the authority to directly respond to state and local needs related to flooding and coastal emergencies like hurricanes.
Our primary disaster authority is Public Law 8499, and it gives the Chief of Engineers the ability to prepare for, respond to, and recover from floods and coastal emergencies.
During a flood event in the Kansas City District's area of responsibility, the district commander can declare a flood emergency, which then allows the district to respond and provide assistance to the communities affected.
Public Law 8499, we can declare flood emergencies on our own, us being the Corps. District commander would declare a flood emergency, and we don't need a request from the state governor to do that. We don't need FEMA to tell us to do it. It is our authority that Congress has bestowed upon us.
In the Kansas City District, Mike Doolin is the district's Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager.
And so that's the program that I'm responsible for, is our Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program. And the main responsibilities there are not only keeping the district prepared for an effective flood response, but also our levee partners and communities throughout the district, providing them with flood fight training.
Flood fight training is a large part of readiness efforts under PL 8499.
From my standpoint, it's really just providing that training not only to our district employees, but also to the levee districts, communities throughout the district. And we try to do that at least twice a year with a full day of flood fight training, one at our Napoleon River office, where we invite a lot of our non-federal levee sponsors to participate. And then also at least once a year, either on the Kansas side or the Missouri side, we'll try to go and provide that training to some of our federal levee partners. We try to combine those trainings when we can to get multiple levee districts involved. And so far, we've been pretty successful in having good turnouts for those events.
Good turnout at a flood fight training event is vital because one critical aspect of the training is teaching local communities how to use a sandbag machine to fill sandbags and build an effective sandbag barrier in the event of a flood.
We've also started doing some smaller events, some kind of ad hoc, just sandbag training. So we took our sandbag machine out there, we demonstrated to the public how to operate it, how quickly you can fill sandbags with it, and then taught them how to build a sandbag levee.
For response efforts, PL 8499 allows the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to assist communities affected by flooding and coastal emergencies. There are two ways this is done.
Under PL 8499, it's a supplemental response that we provide to local communities. And we provide two types of assistance: technical assistance, which is just providing people, engineers and others who can provide them with formulating solutions to their problems during the emergency. And then the other is direct assistance, where we provide sandbag filling machines, where we take a contract action to support those local efforts. When it comes to flood fighting, things like that, it's really a local emergency first, right? And when it exceeds their capability, they'll work up through the county to the state, and then they'll come back to us and ask us to supplement their efforts.
Flooding can last days, weeks, or even months. As such, flood response and recovery can often bleed into each other. But recovery after a flood is primarily focused on rehabbing levees that may have been damaged during the flooding.
Under PL 8499, recovery really is levee rehabilitation. And so it's a very involved, complicated process.
When we talk flood recovery on the core side, that's really what we're talking about is levee rehabilitation. And that gets back to fixing those federal and non-federal levees.
During the recovery phase, it's getting something back to its pre-event condition. That can also take months and sometimes years.
Just like the flooding itself, the recovery period after a flood event is a long, arduous process. The Kansas City District understands that during a flood event, lives, property, and infrastructure are at stake. So, they work hard during dry periods to build relationships with levee districts, levee sponsors, local communities, and state agencies to ensure the most effective response and recovery efforts possible.
The goal is to do it as quickly as possible so folks can kind of resume their normal lives.
The Kansas City District has supplies on hand, ready to distribute to local communities if there were to be a flood event within the district's area of responsibility. Having an adequate stock of supplies at the ready is important, especially here in the Heartland. Those familiar with the Missouri River are likely no stranger to the fact it can experience large, devastating flood events.
Obviously, we don't get a lot of coastal emergencies here in the Midwest, but we get plenty of riverine flooding.
In the last 30 years alone, there have been several devastating flood events on the Missouri River. But there are two that hold a particular significance in Kansas City, 1993 and 2019. The Great Flood of 1993 caused widespread destruction and is still the historic flood on record for the Missouri River. Judd Knieven recalls the 1993 flood event well.
It was very early in my career, so I was in a very different position, but we'd had a wet winter and pretty steady rainfall. And then after we had that May event, it just started raining. And that went on for 55 to 60 days. And so that started July 4th weekend and built. And then by September, Labor Day weekend, we started doing recovery. And it was localized heavy rainfall that occurred for a prolonged period of time, just at various places over the lower Missouri Basin. And it's still the historic record flood for the lower Missouri.
For those working in the Kansas City District at the time, the Great Flood of 1993 left a lasting impact, both professionally and personally. For Judd, the people he worked with in 1993 made the most impact.
There's things I remember about every event. I rarely forget where I was or where I've been. I've flown the river, I feel like, hundreds of times and taken thousands of photos, and the best part of it is the people we put on the ground. I think always remember who I worked with. My dad came back for a little bit in 1993 and kind of acted as a courier for us. Those were all outstanding memories.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers response efforts in 1993 set the stage for improved flood fighting in future flood events, to include the historic flood of 2019. One of the authors of PL 8499 was Marge DeBrot. She credits her mentors and predecessors with giving her the knowledge that she would then apply to rewriting PL 8499.
I learned so much from the people in the field about, you know, levees and what they need. One of the people that taught me levees was Judd's father. So I was out in the field with Judd's father learning about levees.
It set the stage for still how we operate today, how we organize our flood fight teams, how we organize our flood fight SOP, how we use our crisis action team, our crisis management team. All that stuff was born out of the flood of 1993.
While the Great Flood of 1993 is the historic flood on record for the Missouri River for water level, the 2019 flood is historically the longest duration flood event on the Missouri River. Mike Doolin had been the Kansas City District's Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager for just 1 year when the flooding began in 2019.
Our EOC was activated for 279 days, I want to say, We had over 150 USAFE personnel engaged in that flood fight at one time. It was the largest, most costly levee rehab effort and the largest flood since 1993. I think we had 65 levees that overtopped, 45 breached in one or more locations. I think there were a total of 184 some breaches. 65 levee rehab projects that cost close to $60 million to complete. The majority of the work was done in 2 years, the levee rehab work, but it ultimately took 4 years to complete everything.
Even though the response and recovery efforts after the 2019 flood took years to complete, the Kansas City District's Readiness and Contingency Operations Team is able to look back on that time with fond memories.
Well, I got a lot of gray hairs in 2019. Might have knocked a couple years off my life too, but it was totally worth it.
Fruit strike truck that got stuck on LT-46 is always a memory. Poor guy was following his Google Maps and trying to avoid road closures, and he ended up in a river bottom that had a lot of water in it and then stuck on the levee. And then Mike Doolin and our other folks that were in the air that day went and got him out of his truck, got him to safety.
So when I was actually an EM specialist, 2019 was the other major flooding that occurred. But that was very, I hate to say it's fun, but it certainly is very engaging. My favorite part of the job really was just getting to work with people that I loved hanging out with.
Even though hurricanes are not a threat to the Midwest, many employees in the Kansas City District have volunteered to deploy for response and recovery efforts after hurricanes and other coastal emergencies.
One of them was, I think it was Isabel, and I know this will sound crazy because I've since seen it, but that was the first time I'd ever really noticed that rain went sideways, because we were right in as the hurricane was coming in, and I can remember we were trying to drive around to get back to our hotel, and it was just kind of bizarre with, you know, the rain going that way, and you'd see power lines coming down, and I was still with the logistics emergency response team, and we were part of the water mission. So we would get the trucks coming in with bottled water and get them lined up and then get the water sent out to where it needed to be so that it would be dispersed among people that needed it.
Katrina, I spent the entire time at FEMA headquarters. I supported the New York District for Hurricane Sandy.
Another pretty unique deployment was Hurricane Sandy in 2012. I went to New York for a month. When I got there, there were no hotels available because you had a lot of displaced residents and you had a lot of responders, right? And the power was out, subways were flooded. So I ended up staying. I had a friend that had worked in the Kansas City District who just happened to have moved to Manhattan, New York. So I ended up sleeping on his floor in this tiny little Manhattan apartment for about 2 weeks until some rooms became available. But I was stationed at Fort Hamilton, which was 8 miles away from Manhattan, and no taxis wanted to take you over there because gas stations were down. And so I was working night shift the first couple of weeks. So I would leave the apartment at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and just start walking towards Brooklyn until I could finally find a taxi to pick me up.
Unforgettable experiences like these have helped shape the Kansas City District's Readiness and Contingency Operations Team and how they approach their jobs. Deploying to devastating, sometimes dangerous locations has helped the team become close.
We've got a great team here in the district. Our RCO office, we're tight. We can pretty much do anything that's asked of us. And if we can't, we know who to ask for assistance. Everyone tries to help everyone out.
Thank you for listening to Core Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland. We hope you learned something new today. Tune in next week to hear the next episode.